morning, and it's a joy to welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. Today we celebrate two events. One is the Ascension of our Lord, where Jesus returns to the Father, and we'll be talking about that in today's message. We are also celebrating Memorial Day, a national holiday, where we remember all of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We want to thank all of you who have served our country in so many different ways. Thank you for your service. And even though we can't gather in picnics or at the graveyards or in parades, we still remember and we mark this moment. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating the Festival of Pentecost. And on Pentecost Sunday, it's a very special Sunday in the church year. It's really the birthday of the church. And if you can, when you're home, please wear something red so that we can signify the day together. We'll also be celebrating Holy Communion that day. So we invite you to have bread and wine or grape juice with you so that we can celebrate the sacrament together. There's been a lot of questions lately about when the church will open. And I want to tell you something. The church has never been closed. The church is open. This building might be closed, but the church is never closed. We still communicate with each other. We are still passing the peace with each other, maybe not by a handshake, but we'll pick up the phone or we'll do FaceTime or we'll meet 6 feet apart, but the church is always open. And if you ever have a time of concern, prayer concern, that you want to ask the church for help, please don't hesitate to either email us or call us. Or if you want to meet in the parking lot 6 feet apart, we can do that too. We are the church. We are always open, even as this building is locked. And we serve a God who says that he can go into locked places. And so we're so grateful for his mercy that extends beyond locked buildings. In that grace and in that mercy, we worship.
Watchword for the week. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Our reflection comes from the Reverend Dan Olson. In late summer of 1955, when I was 10 years old, my sister was preparing to travel to Mississippi for her first year in college. I didn't realize the emotional effect this had on me until the night before she left and I was sitting watching her pack. It was one of those times when words had no power, feelings did. So big sister was holding little brother as they cried together. Do you suppose the disciples had any of these feelings raging through them, knowing Jesus would be leaving sometime? It's probably a certainty they were in turmoil. These men, like most, revealed little of their fear or anxiety, but it is also a certainty that our Lord left them with the strength to survive. It was as if God's fingerprints were found in this strange event known as the Ascension. God has placed his signature on all living things, including his church, which is the body of Christ dwelling among us. On this Memorial Day weekend, it is our duty to remember and give thanks for those who gave their lives in service to our nation. It is our delight to gather with family and friends and give honor to those who have gone before us. The fingerprints of God are to be found over all these activities. Ascension is a setting stage for Pentecost, for a new heart, a new spirit, and a new power of faith, a feast we will be celebrating next Sunday. Please join us in singing the hymn listed in your bulletin, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
When we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We are so grateful for all the people who have recovered from COVID-19. We're so grateful for the people on the front lines keeping us safe. We're so grateful for our firefighters and first responders who went to a blaze in Sister Bay yesterday. And so very grateful that although the structure was lost, no lives were lost, and there were no injuries. For that, we give thanks. We want to remember in our prayers a young man from Maryland. I performed his wedding. I baptized his children. He had COVID-19 in the line of duty. He's a police officer. And he was recovering and now had to be sent to the hospital in the last couple of days. So please remember in your prayers, Andre. We also want to remember in our prayers, Joyce. This is Joyce from the Bridges Program, one of our ministries in Door County. Joyce broke her hip the other day, and she is recovering at home, and we'd like to remember her in prayer. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that even in difficult circumstances, we can see your hand of grace. We're so grateful that no lives were lost and no injuries found in that structure fire. So grateful for all the engine companies that were there to put out the fire. We ask that you would be with those who have been rendered homeless, that you would grant to them your grace and strength. They find other places to live. Lord, we ask that you would be with Andre today, that you would strengthen him, that you would give to his family your peace and your grace as they battle this dreaded disease together. We ask that you would be with Joyce as she recovers at home, that you would help her to heal. And for those of us today, who are mourning loss, the great losses in our country from COVID-19, the losses that we have sustained in years past of our military. We ask that you would comfort all who mourn, that you would grant to us your mercy until that day when faith becomes sight. For we ask it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The New Testament lesson is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the disciples came together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This is Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Our epistle lesson is taken from the first letter of Peter. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine, moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. Never a trial that he is not there, never a burden that he does not bear, never a sorrow that he doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under his care. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from a
not feel, never a sickness that he cannot heal. Moment by moment, in woe or in weal, Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to tell you, I've had a very steep learning curve when it comes to certain technologies. Now, you young folks don't know what I'm talking about. I remember my kid in his teen years doing FaceTime with people across the country and across the world, but that's all very new to me. And then there's this thing called Zoom or GoToMeeting, where you can meet with groups. Now, the first time I engaged in that kind of meeting was quite comical. For one thing, all of us who were meeting like that are of a certain age. So it was all our first time. So you hear somebody's picture comes up and they're talking, but you can't hear them. So you're shouting into your own computer, turn on the mic. And they're looking around, we're saying, the mic, you know, it's a little icon and it looks like a microphone, turn that on. And then somebody else, we hear a disembodied voice and we say, turn on your video. And you hear, what's that? Well, you know, it's the little thing in the side of your screen and we're pointing to it with the person who can't see us. You know, it's that screen that has that little camera up there. And then when the pictures come on, sometimes you have half a face, or you see their ceiling, you might see their bookcase behind. And then as we're talking to each other, I notice people are looking down, then I realize I'm looking down too. Why? Because our little picture's in a corner, so we can see what we look like, not looking at the person. The learning curve is very steep, and I want it to go back to normal again. In fact, one of my colleagues called me last week and said, I want to meet with you, but I don't want to meet by computer. I'm so sick of this. Can't we meet in person? So we devised a plan where we sat in our parking lot. We, of course, sat 7 or 8 feet apart, and we made sure that we kept that distance. And as we sat there, we three old folks, we sat for so long, I got a sunburn. But it was just so good to have a sense of normalcy. I want it the way it was before. I want life to be restored the way I knew it. And now I understand more than ever before what the disciples were talking about. When they spoke to Jesus, they had been with him for 40 days after his resurrection. And they spoke with him and they said, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time that you will make things normal again? Now, for these people, they didn't know normal. They had not lived with normal for a very long time. They had been born and raised in an occupied country. The only thing they knew about the true kingdom of Israel was from the stories that were passed down from generation to generation. And there was a longing, not only with them, but with the whole nation, to be restored to the former glory that they had heard about from the kingdom of David. And after all, wasn't Messiah coming to do just that, to restore things? So they knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead, so wouldn't this be a logical thing for him now to restore things, to walk into Pilate's office and say to him, there's a new sheriff in town and you can't kill him again? You know, they probably could have taken over Jerusalem without raising a sword or throwing a spear. Lord, is this the day that you're going to make things better again, that you're going to restore us? And Jesus' answer was most unsatisfying. He said, it's not for you to know. I'm not telling. And for the last 2,000 years, we of a church have tried to figure it out. And so there's maps that take place. Lord, will this be the year? Are certain things happening in our world so that you will come back? And God continually says, it's not for us to know. And it's maddening for us, isn't it? Because we want to know. And I know during COVID-19 days, I want to know. When a news report comes out from a vaccine, I'm listening very carefully because I want to know. I want to know when I can be restored, when life will be restored for this nation and this world. I want to know. And I have to remember the words of God. It is not for us to know the future. We have to leave eternity to God. But it doesn't mean that we sit around wringing our hands, depressed and hopeless. Because after Jesus said, no, I'm not telling you, then he said, but I'm going to give you power. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Not only my witnesses to the people around you, but all over the world. And so what God is telling us in this modern age, in this time of plague, in this time when we want restoration is, we don't know when that's going to change, but what we do know is we still have to be about God's business. We still have to be witnesses of grace. We still have to be witnesses of mercy. We still must do acts of charity. We still must do acts of healing. That is our work. I think of when this all started, I thought the quarantine was going to last a few weeks, maybe a month at most. And I reached out to my son in Illinois. Now, up here in Door County, we're pretty insulated. And the illness had not come here for some months. And so when we said we had a shelter in place, I wanted him and his roommate to come and stay with Bob and I, because even though he's grown, we parents have this thing about our kids. And they might be 50 or 60, and they're still our children. We have to protect them. So I wanted to protect him because he was in a heavily populated area. And he said no. And he said, Mom, you and Dad have to take care of Door County. You let me take care of Sis and I. And perhaps that's a lesson we have to learn. God, let God take care of eternity. Let God take care of the wisdom that's needed to develop a vaccine or a treatment. But we can take care of each other. We can take care of still witnessing to grace and mercy in this context and in this time. We are in this for a long time. I don't know how long, because that is not up to me to know. And perhaps we need to turn off the extraneous noise and find our place as witnesses to God's grace and mercy for this time.
I thought it interesting when Rob was reading the letter from Peter. That man was writing thousands of years ago. And he could have been writing today when he said, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that you're going through. And not only that you are going through, but the whole world is." And then he says something so magnificent. "Cast all your anxiety on Jesus, because he cares about you." And perhaps that is what we need to do. Cast our anxiety on Jesus. Understand that we don't have all the answers. We don't know the future. We'll leave that in the eternal hands of God, and we'll continue to be witnesses to his grace. Let us pray. Lord, for all of those here and throughout the world that are undergoing a fiery ordeal, for all who want to draw back the curtain and see the future, we ask that you would give us your peace, your grace, your mercy, and set us loose so that we may be your hands extended in every way possible to all those who are oppressed, both physically and financially and emotionally, in this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.